All right, y'all, I know you know this song. I'm gonna need some help with this. Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere.
Well, good morning. Sometimes I get a little nervous to ask this, but I feel like today I know I'm going to get a response. Who's excited to be in church today? Anybody else like me? In that very moment, your memories go back to the moments in your 1980s Chevy Camaro, sporting your jean jacket with the T-tops down, blaring that music, right? That's right before you roll up the windows before Open Arms and Faithfully comes on, right? And you're like, Ben, you're not old enough to know that. Y'all, I got brothers that are 9 and 12 years older than me. I got pictures of me at 4 years old in my backyard with a jean jacket on. I was in the back seat listening to Def Leppard and Journey over the radio, and so I know all about the 80s. And we are so incredibly excited that you guys are here with us this morning as we dive into part 4 of this series that is different and unlike any other that we are calling Playlist. And if you're sitting there, you're here for the very first time, or maybe you're here for the first time simply during this series, I know that this question is running through your mind. What in the world is going on? Like, why would a church do something like this? And you see, what we want you to understand is that there are really three primary answers to why we do a series like this. Number one is this: because we believe with all of our hearts that God isn't boring, and so church shouldn't be either. Secondly, we're a church that believes with all of our hearts this reality in our lives that music is powerful and that music communicates to us in ways unlike anything else in the English language can. And so we thought, what a more fitting way for us to be able to parlay truth into your life and my life and begin to take steps forward into our future than by using the avenue of music. And third, we believe with all of our hearts that we follow a man named Jesus who taught in this exact same way, that he took things that were relevant to people's lives that nobody else was using to teach with, and he taught with those things because he believed this: in order to reach people no one else is reaching, you have to do things no one else is doing. And we want to be a church that piggybacks on a man named Jesus that we follow with all of our hearts, changed the world 2,000 years ago, and hasn't stopped changing the world since. And we believe that because of that, today is an opportunity for you and for me to take steps forward in our marriages, in our finances, in our relationships, in our parenting. And we believe with all of our hearts that you are not here by accident. And so today, we take this journey back into one of our favorite songs of all time, Don't Stop Believin'. And a couple weeks ago, I read this interview by Stephen Kane. Stephen Kane is the writer of that song. And they asked him, like, what's this song all about and how did this song come to be? And he told this story. In the 1970s, he began to chase a dream in his life of becoming a professional musician. And in order to chase that dream, he traveled out to Hollywood. And he found himself time and time again bumping up against this reality that this dream wasn't going to work out, that nothing was coming to fruition, and he wasn't becoming as successful as he had hoped to be. And one day, in the midst of failure after failure, he picked up the phone and he called his dad back home. He began to tell his dad, "Dad, look, it's just not working. I think I'm about to come home. I think I'm about to give up on this and get my own big boy job back home." And on the other side of that line, he heard his father say these words: "You can't come home. You got to keep chasing this. Don't stop believing. I'll send you a loan. I'll send you whatever you need. But you have to believe in this dream and you have to keep chasing it." And a couple short years later, Stephen Kane joined an unknown band named Journey. And they began to write their first album together. And on that first album, the producers came to them and said, "We need one more." And Stephen Kane's like, "We've already given you 18 songs. What do you mean you need one more?" They're like, "We just need something else. We need one more. You got anything else that you can give us?" And he pulled out this little black book. And in this little black book, he found what he had written down from what his father spoke to him years before that: "Don't stop believing. You can't give up on this. You got to keep chasing this dream in your life." And from there, this song rolled. And he began to think back to not just himself, but as he strolled down Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, what he found in the 70s was this: artist after artist, musician after musician, entertainer after entertainer, walking into every bar, every restaurant they could find on Sunset Boulevard, just trying to get their next gig, just hopefully getting a lead that would allow them to strike it big and be able to pursue and realize these dreams that they had on their heart. And time and time again, as he encountered these entertainers chasing dreams, they asked this one question: "Will I make it? Will I ever realize my dream? And as I thought about that sentiment behind this song, it struck a chord in me, and I believe it strikes a chord in every single one of us. A moment that in our lives we have been in front of time and time again, asking a question that goes something like this. What am I supposed to do with my life? What am I supposed to be chasing? At this stage in my life, what are my dreams supposed to look like? What is my purpose in this world? And you see, every single one of us want to be headed in the right direction. Some of us just want to be headed in a direction at all. And the good news this morning is this, is that as we stand face to face with that question that smacks us in the face time and time again, what are my dreams supposed to be and what purpose am I supposed to be pursuing? The good news, and maybe this is all you take from this morning, I'm gonna be passionate all morning, this gets me fired up, and so just buckle in for the ride. You see, the good news is this, is that we have a living God who speaks in our lives. A God who did not stay on the cross, and that means he is alive and active and relevant in every circumstance and in every situation you walk through right here, right now in your lives. That he's speaking into you, and he wants you to begin to understand that he has created you for more. That where you presently are is not the finish line of your life, is not the finish line of your marriage, of your parenting, of your finances. That God has something more for you, and he wants you to begin to discover that more. That he has bigger and better on the horizon of your life. But the only way in which we discover that bigger and better is if we listen. You see, there's this incredible passage that we're going to start with this morning that King Solomon writes about God's design and his purpose for our life and how we discover that purpose and how we discover that blessing and how we discover his best. We find it in the book of Proverbs 29, verse 18. If you haven't done so already, it's a perfect opportunity for you to crack open your weekly. It's what you got when you walked in this morning. And in there, you'll find a notes page that we've designed for you to help you follow along as we move through the text. You can even grab a pen from the seat back in front of you or behind you and fill in some blanks as we go. But this is what King Solomon writes about how we discover God's dreams, God's vision for our futures and for our lives. In verse 18, he says this. For if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, when they see what God is trying to show us about our lives and our futures, they are most blessed. You see, in this very passage, there are two promises attached there. And when I look back on my past, maybe you all look back on your past and you have a similar story to mine. There are far too many moments of my past in which I have not attended to what God is saying. I've chosen my own way. I've pursued my own purpose in life. And what I've done is stumbled all over myself. But when we choose to listen to what God has for us and the purpose that he has designed us for, the second promise is, and it sounds pretty good to me, I don't know about you, I could use a little bit of that in my life. When we listen to what God has and we attend to what he reveals, we become most blessed. Isn't that incredible? In this very passage, unveils this incredible truth for every single one of our lives. That in our life here on this earth, we were created for significance, not just for survival. Hello. You were created for significance, not just survival. And some of y'all, you heard me say something like this a few months ago, that you were created on purpose for a purpose. That God has something in store for your life that nobody else can live out, that nobody else can achieve. God has a dream and a vision for your future that was only meant for you. And my sole purpose this morning is simply this, to get you dreaming again. to get you to begin to understand that no matter where you are in life or no matter what your past says about you, that there is something better in your future that God wants for your life, that there is a dream and a vision He has created specifically for you that nobody else in this world has, and this is the moment for you to begin pursuing that dream, that purpose, that significance as only you can. See, I believe with all of my heart, the very reason that I strive to do this and I want to get you dreaming again is because I don't have to look any further than my life and my story to recognize this, to recognize that the moments in my life in which I am healthiest, the moments in my life in which my life is best are the moments in which I am dreaming, the moments in which I have a vision, the moments in which I am pursuing a purpose. And yet what I also know about my life is that the inverse is also true, is that the moments of my life in which it has become stale and monotonous are the worst moments of my life. Those are the moments in my life where I begin to question what my purpose is, where I begin to question what I'm doing and why I'm living. And for some of us, those are the moments of our lives when we're entrenched in the monotony of life and we feel meaningless, that the depression and the anxiety begins to close in around us. And maybe the very reason, this is so incredible, if you've gone anywhere, come back to me just for a second. Maybe the reason that this rings true in every single one of our lives and every single one of our hearts is this. That very passage that we just read in Proverbs chapter 29, its original language that it was written in is Hebrew. And in the Hebrew language, there are two words that are so close to one another that they often can't be told apart, that they are often synonymous with one another. And those two words in the Hebrew language that are so close that scholars can barely tell them apart are dreams and health. You want to talk about a revelation this morning? That in our lives, we are healthiest physically, mentally, emotionally, and yes, even spiritually when we are dreaming. And we are least healthy in our lives when our lives are void of dreams and vision and purpose that we are chasing after. You see, I believe with all of my heart that maybe our health in our lives is tied to our ability to dream. And that maybe, just maybe, it isn't our circumstances that dictate our happiness. Maybe it's our dreams that dictate our happiness. It's hard to believe that it's been 14 years since Krista and I started dating. And I've shared this with some of you guys before, but early in our lives, in our pre-kids stage of life, one of the things that we absolutely loved doing, some of y'all can relate to this, maybe you'd say in your pre-COVID days of life, we absolutely loved going to the movies. We went to the movies all the time. It was our date night in our lives all the time, so much so that at our one-year anniversary, the gift that I got Krista was this picture frame that had three picture openings in it, and then around the outside, it had this giant white border. And so in those three open pictures, I put three pictures of us, and then along the outside, every movie ticket from our first year of dating. I had saved every movie that we had gone to. And one of the very first movies that we went to when we started dating was a movie called The Bucket List. Any of y'all ever seen the Bucket List before? Yeah. And this movie has Jack Nicholson, Morgan Freeman. Can't go wrong with a little Morgan Freeman in your life. And if you've never seen this movie, it's predicated around this plot. There are these two older gentlemen who've been diagnosed with cancer. One rich, one poor. And they find themselves placed in the same hospital room. And one day, the rich, sick guy oversees the poor, sick guy writing something down on a piece of paper. And so he asks him, "Hey, what are you writing down?" And the poor guy says, "Well, I'm writing down a bucket list. All the things I want to accomplish in my life before I kick the bucket." And the rich guy gets the bright idea, "I'm rich enough to pay for everything on that list, and so let's do it." And they go on all of these adventures, climbing mountains and jumping out of airplanes. And along the way, on every single one of these adventures, there's something inside of both of these older guys that is ignited. They begin to understand this reality that in our pursuance of something, something in our hearts, in our souls becomes ignited and lit on fire. That it wasn't about the adventures themselves, but it was about the pursuance of the adventure that began to stir something inside inside of them and change them from the inside out. And as I thought about this incredible bottom line from this movie, what it began to stir in me is this, is that maybe for some of us, the starting point to being able to dream again, to being able to see a vision and a purpose for our life is through the simple, relevant tactic of just making a bucket list. You see, what would it look like in your life if you went home this afternoon and you began, whether you're a high school student or you're in college or you're a young adult or you're just considered a slightly older adult, that if you went home and you began to make a list of these are the things I want to accomplish in my life, these are the dreams that I have that I want to accomplish before I kick the bucket, how would it change your days? Wouldn't it drastically change what you do with your life and what you're pursuing with your life if you had something down in front of you to pursue, to go after? You see, what I believe is that every single one of us was created for more, was created for better. And yet, this morning, every single one of us fall into one of five categories as it pertains to our ability to dream and have a vision and see our purpose for our lives. And this morning, as we quickly outline where every single one of us fall, and in your mind, you begin to place yourself into one of these five categories, the question that I want you to keep at the forefront of your mind is simply this. Will I stay there? Will I stay there? Am I good with where I'm at being the finish line? Or do I want more? Do I want the better that I've been designed for? Do I want to experience significance and not just survival on this earth? You see, for some of us, the category that we fall into in our pursuance of our dreams and vision and purpose in life is that we simply have no dream. We simply have no dream. There's nothing that we're pursuing with our lives, no purpose, no meaning that we see with our lives. And I'm going to hit you with something hard and heavy right off the bat, so hang on for just a second. You see, I'm willing to bet that for many of us who find ourselves in this boat of having no dream to pursue in our lives, the very reason that we've drifted from pursuing purpose and a dream in our life is because we've drifted in our faith. See, I believe with all of my heart, or I wouldn't do what I do, that our faith and our ability to dream are synonymous with one another. Because our faith is seeing, hoping for what isn't yet reality. You see, the writer in Hebrews writes it this way. Check this out. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. For faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is the reality of hopes we have for things we cannot yet see. Do you know what dreams are? Hopes for things we want to accomplish that we cannot see yet. Without faith in Jesus Christ, without faith in God, we lose our great ability to have God-ordained dreams in our lives, to see something better, something greater, purpose at every turn, no matter what our circumstances say about our lives, our past, our current situations. You see, the reality is for many of us, we've drifted to a place where we've stopped hoping for something greater in our marriages. We've gotten to this place where we're just okay with mediocrity, and maybe we've thrown out the sentence in our mind a time or two where we're just trying to make it until the kids graduate. And we don't see a whole lot of hope for renewed passion and intimacy within our marriage, and we're okay with that. For some of us, we've become okay with mediocrity and no real dream when it comes to our finances. And there are so many zeros at the end of that debt on our credit card that we don't see any way out. And maybe it's just easier for us to live paycheck to paycheck from here on out. For some reason, we stopped believing that we could make a difference in this world, and so we stopped investing our lives, our resources, into causes that were bigger than ourselves. We've drifted into this place in which we believe maybe there just isn't a purpose, or maybe it's just not worth it to pursue a purpose and dreams and vision in our lives. We're good with just being people who breathe until we stop. And yet for those of us who have found ourselves there at some point in our lives, what we ultimately know is this, right? is that when we find ourselves stuck in that place, those are the moments in which our mental health deteriorates, our emotional health deteriorates. Yes, even our spiritual health deteriorates when there is nothing in our life that we are pursuing, nothing that we are believing could be better and greater and provide more purpose in our lives. But for some of us, it's not that we don't have a dream. For some of us, it's that we're chasing the wrong dreams. You see, we've spent a majority of our adult life or early adult life pursuing what somebody else has already accomplished. And we find ourselves very easily looking at their lives and the bottom line of their paycheck or the placard that they have on the door or the amount of success they've experienced in extracurricular activities or sports. We've looked at their lives and we've set our sole purpose up to accomplish what they've already accomplished. And somehow we've bought into the myth that if we accomplish what they accomplish, our lives will be happier than their lives. And yet they're not really happy and content. And yet somehow we think if we put ourselves into a pursuance of what they have in their life, that somehow we'll be fulfilled and somehow we'll be content. And yet what we miss along the way is that we were created to pursue a purpose that is only yours. Is that you were created unique by your heavenly Father to pursue something that only you were meant to pursue. Nobody else in this world. And we've gotten accustomed to maybe listening to somebody else telling us what we should accomplish. A father-in-law, a boss, a commercial, a professional athlete. Every single step of the way. Forcing us to listen to wrong voices that lead us towards wrong dreams. Wrong dreams that leave us full of discontent, pursuing more, pursuing something that never comes through on our behalf. And you see, Paul encountered this. Paul experienced this. And at every breath, Paul attempted to fight back against this. You see, he acknowledged this tension in his own life in Acts chapter 20. He wrote, "But my life is worth nothing to me, unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus." You see, if you have a pen and you're taking notes, maybe the word you need to underline there is simply me. My life is worth nothing unless I accomplish the purpose that I have been given, that only I have been given. It's not Joe next door, his purpose and what he's accomplished. That won't satisfy me. That won't allow me to accomplish what I have been created to accomplish. Only the purpose that God has given me specifically will bring about contentment and will bring about the better that I desire in my life, in my marriage, in my parenting, in my finances, in my relationships. You see, sometimes accomplishing the wrong dream can be more detrimental than not pursuing a dream at all. Hello. You were created with a purpose that only you were meant to chase. Stop chasing somebody else's. So for some of us, it's that we don't have a dream. For some of us, it's that we're chasing the wrong dreams. But for some of us, we're on the right track. We have the right dream, but yet it's become a stale dream. It's not that it's wrong. It's not that it isn't a dream. It's that this dream has become stale in our life. The fire that burned at one point in our lives to chase this dream has slowly gone out. Any of y'all ever experienced this before? That in our lives, this ember is just barely burning. And this morning, my hope is simply this, that as you find yourself in this place in your life in which you have slowly drifted and stopped believing in the pursuance of that dream, my hope this morning is to simply be a fan to that flame in your life. That as there's just that small ember burning towards the right dream in your life, that it needs to be fanned back into this giant flame that grows larger than just some bonfire, but you are on fire for pursuance of the dream that only you can accomplish in your life. You see, it's what Paul set out as his mission to local churches and to young men like Timothy. He said, "Man, I'm just here to fan your flame, to impassion you again, to chase what only you were created to chase.
Check this out. In 2 Timothy, a letter that he writes to a young man, he says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you, the purpose, the dream, the vision that God gave you when I laid my hands on you." And I'm here to fan that flame, to get you going again, to get you dreaming again, to help you understand that your dream is achievable, that this is the moment to go after it, that this is the moment to give it everything you got, that this is the moment in your life to understand that you can't be half go and pursue the dreams that God has for your life, that this is the moment for you to push all the chips into the center and to go after it with everything inside of you, that this is the moment for you to echo the words of that song. Don't stop believing in what God has laid on your heart and the purpose God has for your life, your marriage, for every facet of your life. Don't stop believing in those things. Don't stop believing that you can make a difference for the kingdom, but you have to get moving again. And I understand for many of us, our dreams have become stale over time, because we have simply gotten to a place in our lives in which we've believed that it isn't accomplishable. We're never going to be able to succeed at this. And so we put it off until all of the stars align in our life, until we have our finances in order, until we have more margin in our lives. And we're just waiting for 100% certainty that we will achieve this dream before we go after it. Guess what? That moment will never come. We will never encounter a moment on this earth in which it is 100% certain that you will achieve the dreams that God lays on your heart. If you're waiting for that, you will experience a stale dream because you will be waiting for forever. There's a faith element to it. That you just got to get going. That you just got to get chasing. That you just have to get pursuing it and fan that flame again. For some of us, it's not that the right dream has become stale. It's that the right dream has always been vague to us. You see, the category we fall into is a vague dream. That we don't fully understand the dream, or maybe we don't fully understand how to get started. Like, Ben, I don't know how to pursue the dream because I don't know what the first step is. I don't even know where to begin in my pursuance of this dream. And there was this man named Habakkuk. We find his story in the Old Testament. And just a little background to Habakkuk, what you need to know. Habakkuk is coming off of a fire in his life. He's coming off of a dry season, which it feels like everything is falling apart. And he encounters this moment in which he's trying to reinvigorate a vision for his life, but also a vision for his entire nation. And as he's trying to encounter this dream, this vision, this purpose, this significance that he was called to live out, God says, "Hey, Habakkuk, don't overcomplicate it. I know you don't understand where to start, so let me give you something really ridiculously simple." Check this out. In Habakkuk chapter 2, he says this, "Hey, Habakkuk, write it down. The dream that I'm laying on your heart, just write it down. Write down the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it." Do you know what writing it down does in our life? It's the very reason why I challenged you at the very beginning to make a bucket list. Writing it down brings your dreams out of secrecy. It makes it known. Your dreams can no longer be swept under the rug. They can no longer be ignored. When they are written down, it forces you into action. It's the reason why God says, write it down, and then when you read it, what does he say? You'll run. When you write it down and you read it, it will force you to start chasing after it. It will force you to start going. Almost 7 years ago, there was this vision, this dream that was laid on my heart that in the moment was absolutely ludicrous. There was this vision that God was planting in my heart for my life to become a lead pastor. And at the time, the reason in which I say it was ludicrous is simply because of this. It's because I could not imagine my life consisting of getting up on a stage and speaking in front of people every single weekend. Like, God, what in the world are you trying to tell me to do? Like, that is scary. It petrifies me. It makes me nervous to the point in which I'm sick. Why would I base my life around something that makes me sick every single time I do it? God, I think you're off your rocker a little bit here. I have no idea why you're trying to speak this over my life. And in the same vein, you want me to go back home and you want me to begin to plant something there and start something there that nobody else in that city is doing. God, I don't know if you've got the right man for the job. But I just this week went back to my journals and I went back 7 years ago. And you know what I found myself doing? That every time I found that spoken into my heart, I wrote it down and I wrote it down and I wrote it down until I had written it down so much in my journal that it's like, why aren't you doing anything, Ben? It's there. It's not a secret anymore. Are you going to chase it? Are you going to do something about it? And in that conviction, I picked up the phone. And I called an old friend of mine, and I just invited him out to lunch. An old friend who just so happened to go to Core Community Church. And over time, those lunches turned into conversations about passion and vision and a heart for the local church. And those conversations turned into interviews. And that interview turned into an offer. And that offer turned into an opportunity. And here I stand 6 years later, still petrified every time I walk up here on stage. And yet wondering how God blessed me with an opportunity to be a part of this. Be able to walk in here every single week and link arms with you people. And begin to change this city and begin to change this world and begin to become a church who is willing to push all the chips into the center and do things no one else is doing to reach people nobody else is reaching. To get crazy in the name of series like Playlists and At the Movies because we are so impassioned for Jesus Christ that we are willing to do anything short of sin to reach the next lost person. And to believe with all of our hearts that God isn't just going to stop with this city, that God is calling Core Community Church to be a force in this country, to be a force in this world, and that where we are now, sure, we've come a long way, but God is far from done yet, and the best is yet to come. You see, in order for us to take a vague dream and turn it into something bigger, we start with writing it down, and writing it down forces us to chase it. Did I warn you I was going to get passionate today? You were pre-warned. You see, that's what God wants to do in and through your lives. It's what he wants to do in and through your circles. Whatever it is he's calling you to, whatever your core community church is in your life, you've got it. And he's calling you to bring that to the surface again. And this world will never be the same when you do it. Hello. I don't think I need to keep going. But I'm going to. Because I posed a question at the beginning. When we find ourselves falling into any of those four categories, will we stay there? Or will we become people who are courageous enough to find ourselves being pushed into the fifth category? Because I believe with all of my heart, this fifth category is where God wants every single one of us to live. The category in which he knows you operate best, the category in which he knows you are healthiest. You see, the category he wants to push every single one of us into when it comes to our dreams, our vision, our purpose is a pursuance of an only God dream. And you're saying, Ben, I don't get that. What exactly does that mean? What is an only God dream? It's a dream that's so big you recognize you cannot accomplish it unless something or someone else shows up to make that dream a reality. It's something you can't do on your own. It's bigger than what you see for your life, bigger than what you could ever imagine. And yet you believe that God has something bigger than you can even compute in your mind for your future, for your marriage, for your finances, that that he wants to use you and your story and your mistakes and your regrets to make an impact in this world in only a way you can, sometimes because of all those mistakes, because of all those regrets, because of your checkered past, that God wants to use that in big ways. And not just because some broken, messed up dude walks up on this stage and speaks this over your life. No, because the creator of the universe, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb, speaks this over your life. You see, this is what Paul has to say. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, this is so incredible. For no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no brain can begin to understand what God has destined for you who love him. Guess who falls into no one? You do. Not even you can fully understand the big dreams that God has for your life, the big purpose that God has for your life. In order for you to be the best version of yourself, I want you to hear this. Your vision has to get bigger. Your vision for your life has to get bigger this morning. You see, some of you ladies, you heard this yesterday and you need to hear it again. Men, you didn't hear it and you need to hear it for the first time. See, many times we've bought into this myth that the safest place for us to operate is in small dreams. Small dreams is where less disappointment comes. If we just stay in the shallow end of the small dreams of our life, we can touch, we can be in control. And yet what we fail to recognize is that small dreams is far from the safest place for you to operate. Because small dreams in the shallow end of life keep you in a place in which this question always pierces to the forefront. What do you even need God for then? If you're going to keep yourself in the shallow end, what do you need a bigger force for? What do you need someone who has a bigger dream and a bigger vision and a bigger purpose for your life for? You see, for some of us, the step that we have to take this morning is this. You need to push off. You need to put your life, your marriage, your finances, your parenting, your ministry in a place in which you are willing to say, if nobody shows up, I'm going to drown out here. I can't touch. I'm not in control. I'm in the deep end. And God, I'm entrusting you to help me in this. I'm entrusting you to show up and show off in my life, in my dreams, in my vision, in my purpose. Is it scary? Absolutely. Is it the place that provides the most benefit in your life? Absolutely. Only God's dreams are what this place is supposed to be built on. The Dream Center is an only God dream. I hope I don't scare you all with this, but just this week, thoughts constantly pass through my mind like this. What in the world are you doing? Do you know the volunteer power? Do you know the dollar that it's going to take to pull off something like that? There aren't any churches in this country at a size of about 200 people who are pursuing a dream like that. Why would you think it's possible? It's not. That's why I'm pursuing it. That's why we're pursuing it. That's why I'm asking you to link arms. That's why I'm asking you to do crazy things. Because I believe with all of my heart, the shallow end is not the safe end. We have to go deeper. We have to think bigger. We need somebody in the midst of our dreams and our visions and our lives that has to carry us, that has to do something in order for it to come to fruition. And I get it. The world around you is going to try tooth and nail to get you to believe it just ain't possible. There's no way you can accomplish that. Do you know who you are? Do you know the shortcomings you have? Let me focus your attention to that for a little bit, and then you'll realize, don't pursue this. That's dumb. Don't pursue this. You're not good enough. Don't pursue that. You don't have the skills to pull that off. You don't have the influence to make a difference. And God's like, whoo. Who are you listening to? I didn't speak that junk over your life. I didn't speak that crap over your dreams and your visions. I'm the creator and sustainer of the universe. And I'm a God who tells you, yes, you can. Yes, you can. But you have to have the courage to push off the shallow end. And as he said it yesterday, stop living your life in kiddie pool Christianity. And dream bigger. Do more. Give more. Dream more. It's time to chase those things. Your health depends on it. This world depends on it. Your family depends on it. Don't stop believing. Start dreaming again. Go after it. And go after something that is bigger than what you can accomplish on your own. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, God, we thank you for what a great God you are. God, we thank you for loving us and speaking bigger dreams and visions and purpose into us in spite of our past, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our shortcomings. God, this morning, for every single one of us in this room, God, my hope is that we get to a place in which we say, we're tired of being people who fall into the category of having no dreams. We're tired of being people who chase the wrong dreams. We're tired of allowing the right dream to become a stale dream. And we're tired of that vague dream sitting on the sidelines because we're not sure the first step to take. Well, God, we want to become people who are courageous enough to have only God dreams, to chase something bigger than what we can accomplish on our own, to push into the deep end and to know you're in the business of the deep end. That's where you are. Just waiting to hold us up. Just waiting to allow us to experience something we can't even begin to comprehend. This morning, God, we're done listening to the world. Done listening to the voices telling us what we need to accomplish or what we can accomplish. Today, we focus our eyes on you. We ask that you begin to write an only God story in our dreams and in our lives. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. I know I say this often, but up until this point, I don't know about you, but I've had an absolute blast throughout this series. And next week, we are going to finish in an absolutely amazing place, bringing a little bit of Michael Jackson to the stage. We thought we pushed Jonathan to the limits with Journey, but we haven't even gotten there yet. It might not be Thriller, but it's going to be equally as good happening up here on this stage. And so I want to finish today challenging you to a couple of things. The first is this. We do series like this not for you alone. Because we believe with all of our hearts that you have somebody in your life, a family member, a coworker, a friend, who needs to walk into a church and experience something different. And we want to be that church. We want to be that church who's willing to do what no one else is doing to reach who no one else is reaching. And so we're asking you one last chance throughout this series to invite someone and to make next week the week you don't come alone. Secondly, 2 weeks from now, you have an equal opportunity for an invitation. Mother's Day, where we celebrate all of the incredible women in our lives and we do everything we can to provide an environment that is going to speak to the masses, and you as a mother sets it up so that you can invite your kids and allow them to have something that has the potential to impact their lives. And so we're asking you to link arms with us over the course of the next 2 weeks and invite people to be here with you. You don't want to miss it. They don't want to miss it. Lives and eternities hang in the balance. Again, thanks so much for being here this morning. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Hope to see you soon.